Hello, listeners. This is Paula Scataloni. Transformative Harmonics is an academy for individual and planetary healing rooted in ancient wisdom and modern science. We are here for those who are interested in being guided back to soul so they can step into their signature frequency and be in service of humanity. If you've been looking for a place to land and settle down, develop community, and dive into the psyche and soma in a way that is supportive, trauma-informed, and integrative, then our programs are here for you now. Our monthly membership circle is available for those looking for a one or twice a month option for themselves and supported by my writings and somatic practices and sound journeys through Substack. Our immersive program is a deep dive into your own, your ancestral, and the collective, so you can go through your own initiation and transformation into your signature frequency with a small, intimate cohort. These groups are closed, and they only open every other month. So please reach out to me if you're interested in one of our upcoming groups. If any of these programs feel like they resonate with you, go to my website, paulascataloni.com, and fill out an application or sign up for a discovery call. I'm happy to meet with you and give you more information to help you make your decision. We would love to meet you and bring your wisdom into the circle.
Welcome. I'm your host, Paula Scataloni, the founder of Transformative Harmonics, a podcast that offers listeners a synthesis of ancient wisdom and modern science.
Hello, I'm Paula Scataloni. Welcome back to the podcast. Today, I have brought on a professional, a practitioner, who for myself, when I met Heather several years ago, was such a beautiful model for me of an integrative human and practitioner. I was on my own path of letting go of some of the traditional ways that I was treating individuals to open more to my intuitive skills and the body-based and energetic-based treatments that I was using and training in at the time. And so when I met Heather as an occupational therapist, I found so much delight in her comfort level with herself, her understanding of neuroscience, and her ability to really embrace herself as a multidimensional human. Heather Corbett is my guest today. She is an occupational therapist, a spiritual advisor, a brain spotting consultant, and assistant trainer for phase one in the brain spotting schools. Heather is also a Reiki master teacher and coach with over 25 years in human development. Her specialties are vast. They include grief and loss, sensory processing, parts work, pediatrics, couples work, neurodivergence, spirituality, energy work, and Reiki. She works with people who are primarily creatives, performers, medical anomalies, highly sensitive people, and also offers groups and retreats. Heather teaches innovative courses in Reiki and intuition and is the co-trainer for the course Spirituality, Intuition, Plus Manifesting. She also teaches the brain spotting and Reiki workshops, either live or recorded for the Academy, of which she will talk about in the podcast. Heather enjoys witnessing her clients shift into new paradigms with increased connection, and her commitment lies in supporting individuals as they embark on their sacred journey of intuition and self-discovery. It's with the deepest joy that Heather is able to witness her clients move into fulfillment of their life's purpose and the realization of their most cherished dreams. I hope that you get something out of this podcast, whether it's to learn about brain spotting, embrace your own intuition, and take the woo-woo out of some of the things that people are exploring right now, and also to bring the gift of candidness and vulnerability and honest discussions into the space as we learn, grow, and evolve together. Hello, welcome back to Transformative Harmonics. I'm Paula Scataloni, your host. Today is a very special day for me because this is a guest that I have thought about putting on for a while, and the timing just seems so perfect right now. So because I feel like this conversation is important, I am going to invite you
to settle back a little in your chair or your car seat. And just create a little space between the words as I'm talking. And start to notice where you are, how you know you're here and not someplace else. Bring all your sensory systems into this moment and feel that support behind you. The idea that we do literally have support around us all the time, a matter of tuning in. As we slow down our nervous system, there is some space that starts for you to get created. And that space then allows this conversation between my guests and I to have a place to land inside. And I invite you to ingest anything that feels resonant and to come back again and listen again if something doesn't feel like it has a place to land you. That's okay. That's okay. We're all on our own timeline with this process. So welcome. And I'm so pleased to have you here today, Heather. This has been a long-awaited conversation. I've known you for a while now, not engaged weekly, but I've had, you know, bumped up into your community and spent some time with you in my journey of brain spotting and outside of that as well. And I'm thrilled that we're together today to share a little of your wisdom, to talk about what you're doing. And as I mentioned in previously before we started talking in my introduction to you, you are such a beautiful model of an integrative person, human, and a practitioner. And I think that that's important, right? As people deconstruct and put themselves back together again, like, well, what might this look like if I was integrated?
Yes. And thank you so much for having me, Paula. It feels almost as if we go way back and here we are in this conversation, and it feels very timely. So I just thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, well, I'm pleased. I think we're going to have fun and we'll have a little chat and see how this goes. Now, I have some ideas of what I hope we can share with the listeners, but I'm also open if it changes direction. I have heard you on some different podcasts, and I always find your story of your evolution to be compelling and rich and heartfelt. And so I'd like to invite us, if we can, to start a little with that so people can get to know you and your path. And then we'll drop into what you're currently doing, Nora.
Yeah, well, I sometimes feel like I'm a jack of all trades. I mean, if I'm to look at all of the different hats that I've worn, I was a kindergarten teacher, I was a special ed teacher, I was a professor. Currently, I'm an occupational therapist and also a spiritual advisor, Reiki master teacher, and the list goes on. Radio DJ, whatever I could do, I did. And it was almost as if however I could drink up life, I wanted to do it. And how many people I was able to touch, I wanted to get into different fields so that I could touch them and be with them. And my own upbringing, I have always had extrasensory perception and just didn't really understand what it was. And so with that, I was able to feel, sense, know beyond our typical sensory experience. And when I realized, I think it was age 12, that I realized that not other people typically noticed everything that I noticed, I just decided to turn it off. And when I did, I kind of lived the quote unquote typical social life of adolescence and teenagehood. And then when I was in my early 20s, my cousin very unfortunately passed in a car accident. And I just remembered wanting to go to the car accident scene the next day. And so when I did, I had a bunch of stones in my hand, a bunch of crystals that I wanted to put down on the land just to kind of bless the area. And I saw, you know, parts of his car. I saw different things that had landed after the car accident. And at one point, I saw a part of his glasses and it just tore me up. And I dropped down to my knees and the crystals kind of fell out of my hand. And with that, I just started sobbing. And I said, just please send me an angel, send me an angel. And at that point, there's this backcountry road. And at that point, there was a man on a bike and he started biking down the hill. And then when he saw the scene, he stopped and he pulled me up and he started praying with me. And he prayed for my family. He prayed for my cousin. And at that moment, I was just like, who sent this angel? Is this an angel? You know, all these things were going through my head. And then as quickly as he came, he left. And it really reeled about that for a little while. And a few weeks later, I was in a meditation. And as I was in the meditation, all of a sudden, my cousin came in my face. And he kind of bumped my face a few times and his freckles and all these things. And then he pointed to his glasses. And I communicated with him, probably telepathically. I said, you have your glasses? And he said, yes, I have my glasses. I'm okay. I'm whole. I'm complete. And I said, did you send me the angel? And he said, yes, I did. And it was at that moment that all of the extrasensory perception opened back up. And I really realized again who I was. And so that was the beginning of my spiritual reawakening. So that's a little bit of my journey there.
So powerful. So yeah. Powerful. And the willingness to not be in fear when something happens that is beyond the ordinary.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also feel the connection between tragedy and opening is important to mention, because often we have awful things that happen. We think, oh, why did this happen? Or we don't understand there is a piece of it that might be part of a bigger picture.
Right.
Sounds like that was part of your bigger picture.
Yeah. And I appreciate you sharing that, because I feel like sometimes we're almost like broken open, and that's where we can find like the gold nuggets within us. And a lot of times I tell, you know, my clients and students, I'll say the deeper we go, the higher we go. So sometimes it is in those tragedies that we're able to access more beyond who we are. So I absolutely agree.
Mm-hmm. Another piece I find with your story, and I'd like to kind of move into this as the next question, is you use the word multisensory, you use the word sensitive. And as you've moved along in your journey, you've also, you know, studied neuroscience and, you know, really began to understand this from different lenses. So I'd like to know, you know, how do you start to talk about this now with people who are coming into your centers for growth and training and understanding themselves?
Right. And I appreciate you bringing this forward. And I really honestly want to give like homage and honor to all of the clients that I've been with who have taught me. And so after I got my undergrad in psychology, I started working with kids with autism and started really getting really intrigued by the sensory system. And with that, realized that the children that I was working with, that we had some metacommunication. And with that, that there was a lot of nonverbal that was happening. And yet I understood everything that they were going through, doing, what they were communicating with me. And so moving into occupational therapy, I realized that that was almost like a grounded, certain way of looking at the sensory system and also helping me to understand my own sensory system. And so with that, just learning more and more within occupational therapy and about the sensory system, I went to some more advanced training within sensory, and so was able to be in connection with Lucy Miller at the Star Center in Colorado, and went through some extensive sensory training and just started learning more and more and more about the system. And so it almost gave a lot of verbiage to what I was experiencing. And it wasn't quite as out there as I thought it was. It was just my system. And so I appreciated that, and also appreciated that I started meeting other people who were also highly sensitive and who also had extrasensory perception. And so as I was meeting more and more people, it was intriguing to me, because as I was teaching people or guiding people or helping them with their sensory systems, I started experiencing what they were experiencing. And so it was almost like this exchange of gifts. And so as I did more and more work with this, I realized that our limbic systems seem to be always talking with each other. And so that's how I was almost retrieving information. And more than likely with those young children that I was working with autism and on the spectrum, just witnessing that more than likely we were exchanging information through the limbic system without communicating a word. So that has been really helpful for me in a way of giving me language and helping me to understand who I am, and also helping others to have, let's say, more of a framework and more of a container for who we are. And that even if it seems a little different, there's reasons for that.
And it's not as woo-woo as that's part of what you teach in the academy. It's not as woo-woo as we think. There's a neuroscience behind and a deeper understanding of what the why this is, and that it's, I kind of think of it as a special skill set, right? That you come into the world with, but there's not many places for that to be nurtured in our current, right, school systems or world in general.
Yes, absolutely. And so I feel, you know, looking at this, I felt really compelled. I was doing occupational therapy. I've been in every setting with occupational therapy. And as I was having more and more experiences, I just felt like I really wanted to connect with others that are having those similar experiences, and being able to be there for them and helping them to maybe develop some of their sensory gifts in a way that they may have shut it off too. So there's just different times that perhaps this wasn't welcomed. And so being able to support people in their gifts and calling that gifts. And I know sometimes people will say, is it really gifts or am I just different or what is this? And so just really wanting to support people on their journey. So about 10 years ago, I left kind of the clinic atmosphere and decided to go out and be able to really support people with their sensory systems. You know, being able to witness that sometimes people feel energy, or they may be able to see beyond our own sensory system, to see auras or to see what else is out there. And so it's been really neat to see, because I feel, again, I just want to give homage to my clients in a way of how much they've been able to teach me about our systems and how we can navigate the world.
Yeah, what a beautiful, and you're a translator for them, and it's giving you that verbiage to be able to talk about this with a lot of confidence, I feel, when I've heard you speak about it, which is just a treat to witness. And it makes me think about the show, The Telepathy Tapes, which is also an occupational therapist that's really opening our eyes to the autistic nonverbal world and how we, you know, maybe have not looked at the whole picture, right? Which is also what you're saying as well, that there's a lot more happening that we have neglected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I appreciate that too. I was so excited to see that, just because I had experienced it. I'd been with kids with autism, goodness, 15, 20 years. And just having this experience over and over again. You know, there was one point where this little guy, he was nonverbal, and we were playing with some trucks doing pediatric OT. And I just heard loud as a bell, "I'm bored," like that. And so I just kind of put my hand out because I knew he was going to jump up and run. And I just knew it. And so in that moment, I felt like, okay, there's something else here. So I really appreciate that. And I really appreciate people and those who have come before me in a way of being able to be teachers and voyeurs and being able to just really help for people to have a leader of some sort in a place to go. And so I really appreciated that when the telepathy tapes came out. It was almost like, aha, here it is.
I bet it validated a lot of what you...
Right. Exactly, exactly.
You and others. Yes. Wonderful, yes. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. And so you also have a unique aspect of taking that occupational therapy, your understanding of the sensory system, intuition, and then there's brain spotting, which, you know, I came across, honestly, I was looking for CEUs in somatic-based work, and I'd done every training you could think of. And then I went, oh, I haven't done brain spotting, right? So I kind of came upon it without knowing anything. And I had a friend who knows you, and so she said, well, why don't you go into this community and try it here? And I was so pleasantly surprised and just loved it from the first moment that I experienced it. The combination of that marriage between somatic experiencing and EMDR and that larger container that you hold. So maybe we can talk a little about that, because I know that there are a lot of people that listen to the podcast that are holding a lot of different modalities at the same time and wondering, you know, how do these all fit together?
Right. Absolutely. And I'm glad you're bringing that forward. And I feel, You know, when I first discovered brain spawning, it was actually because I was going through a very difficult transition in my life. My husband and I and our son had moved across the country and were starting a whole new life. And I just remember going, you know, to a therapist knowing that I needed support. And as I was there, she said, like, well, let's try brain spotting. Well, in that moment, she said, and, you know, it sounds like from your history, you have a lot of trauma. And I'm like, really? And so more than likely, I'm just throwing this out there, that probably part of my extrasensory perception probably evolved from the trauma. And so with that, as she supported me and helped me, what I was able to realize is that as I cleared out the trauma, I was able to access my intuition even more. I was able to really witness that I had more clarity. I had more of an understanding, more insightfulness. And so it was really exciting. And also, I have experienced chronic pain over the years. And so what I noticed with brain spotting was that different times that I would have bouts of pain, I was able to do the brain spotting and it would start clearing. And so I was really intrigued and then was able to get trained myself and learned more about that with the somatic experiencing, that with brain spotting, that we are processing brain body. So as we're going into brain spotting, we're able to go into the subcortical and we're processing at that brainstem area, which is that historical organ of our whole entire life, even back to the womb, and that we're actually processing through the spine. So those sensory and motor neurons are getting fed and healed as well. And so what has been really intriguing to me is just being able to witness, like, oh, wow, I don't have chronic pain anymore. And that I feel is largely due to brain spotting. And what's been really neat too is being able to hold space for other brain spotting therapists, go to the trainings. I'm an assistant trainer for phase one in the schools, being a consultant, and witnessing that the more and more as people were doing brain spotting, they were opening up to their spirituality and they were opening up to their intuition. And it was almost as if they were clearing out that subcortical, clearing out the trauma, and witnessing that the intuition and spirituality is there as well. And so that's been absolutely incredible to be able to see people opening up even more into their spirituality. And this is also giving more verbiage for people to be able to witness, like, oh, that's in me. You know, spirituality is in me and I'm able to access that within myself. And so, yeah, just as you shared too, like that somatic experiencing and also witnessing that we're able to access so much more within ourselves. And I feel in so many ways that helps us to be able to align to truly who we are. So I just really give great honor to brain spotting for helping me with being able to come back to myself.
Hello, this is Paula Scataloni. Thank you for listening to the Transformative Harmonics podcast. If this conversation has been interesting to you, I invite you to look at our new Transformative Harmonics Academy. I was inspired to create this membership and academy to bring together not only the transformative power of sound, but also a growing global community of faculty and teachers who are coming together to support you on your journey. So together, you will come and meet myself, others who are interested in spiritual growth, embodiment, soulful connection, opening their gifts, and we will gather weekly to explore, embody, and find our signature frequency. If this is interesting to you, feel free to check out the website or make a discovery call with me at paulascataloni.com. And now back to the podcast.
Mm-hmm. A vehicle for finding that truth inside of us that it's, we can't find it because there's so much static in the nervous system and in the mind. And so it is, it's beautiful dance. And so I feel like many somatic-based methods support that same process. And so there are a lot of people right now finding that they're coming into this marriage, it seems like, not just of the body and their emotions, but these other senses that you're talking about, right? And the veil between the seen and the unseen is opening again. Where did they go, right? After that, to learn more about what is this? What do I do? And I feel like what you've created with Sherry, which we can talk about next, is one of those places to come as well to navigate. Okay, here, I'm opening to being intuitive. I'm opening to mediumship. I'm opening to the unseen world. And what does that mean?
Right, right. And I appreciate you bringing that forward. And I feel like in so many ways with, you know, with my mediumship and my extrasensory perception, I honestly feel like I've been trying so hard to legitimize and to find the research that's out there for spirituality. And once I stumbled upon brain spawning, I just thought, oh my gosh, here it is. And so with that, Sheree and I, we were in Sedona, Arizona, and we were on a hike. And it was so interesting because we just started talking about brain spotting and our different clients and how people were just opening up organically into spirituality and intuition. And as we were talking, we were almost like formulating, like, okay, so what is this? And why is this happening? And also just bringing different times that we were able to witness this within our own offices. And it seemed as if nearly every time as therapists or as clients were being able to access their spirituality through brain spotting, they were hush-hush about it. And so it was almost as if I'm experiencing this. It was like whispers in our office. And I just remember sharing this with Sheree and she shared it with me. We were almost like, why are we whispering? Because, you know, it's just us here. And as Sheree and I were hiking, it was almost as if this is how it is happening. And so we went on this incredible voyage of about a year of research. And we found so much within the research of neuroscience, being able to utilize the brain to access spirituality, intuition. Why is this happening? How is this happening? And then we were able to create brain spawning spirituality and intuition, which is a 3-day training that we teach together. And off of that, I think it was our third time that we taught the training, we realized that the students were also manifesting. And so with that, we started doing research about that in a way of their lives were changing. They were creating what they truly desired in their lives. And so now the training has evolved to brain spawning, spirituality, intuition, plus manifesting.
I was wondering about that. I thought, you added the plus in there. Yeah.
Right. What is that? Yeah. So in this again, you know, again, earlier I was just sharing how I just give honor and homage to my clients and students. And I feel like even for that training to evolve the way it did, it was because of the participants and their feedback of what they were experiencing. So always beautiful to be able to be a part of, you know, something like that.
Yes. So it's really, or it's organically growing as you created the foundation. It will continue to basically tell you what it is by the people coming. Yeah.
Yes.
And what they're experiencing, which is so lovely. It's so lovely. And I love for myself, I'm getting less and less like this, but I needed the left brain material to settle me, to soften into the mystery and the esoteric a little bit more. And so that is the, all that research that you've done to, it's kind of like, I think gives people permission to say, like, don't worry about this. Nothing, nothing unusual is happening. It is part of the human experience. And here's how we might think about it.
Right.
So then they can relax into it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And what I appreciate about this too, just being able to witness, like when we have those experiences, of course, we're going to go into this sympathetic nervous system response, fight or flight or freeze. Like, of course we are. That's just what it is. That's what our bodies are designed for. Like, and just witnessing like that's part of our evolution and witnessing that in the past, you know, years, thousands of years, we had to be on high alert. And so if there's something unusual, of course we need to go into that. And at the same time, you know, just being able to witness that as we're understanding what this is and helping, let's say, the frontal lobe or the neocortex to know that there isn't danger there, we're able to settle into it. And so having that verbiage can really help us to settle into this and have an understanding of, yeah, this can be natural. It doesn't have to be supernatural. It can be natural. And so what I love about the research we did on intuition was that intuition is quick and it's embodied and it's based on past patterning. And so with that, if you just kind of get the hit, like I need to do this, or I have this gut feeling, and then we don't necessarily have the languaging behind it, it's because intuition doesn't have language. And so that's another thing to have an understanding of, that I don't know why I did what I did. I just did it. And so just knowing that we can trust ourselves, we can trust our gut, we can trust our intuition, even if it doesn't have language. And so that's some more little nuggets that we've been able to learn. And so I appreciate what you're sharing here, because I do feel like the left brain and logic and whatnot needs that information so we can have a better understanding so that we can settle into it.
Yeah, until that trust is developed. And once we have that trust, then it's just becomes a way of life. And we don't need the explanation as much anymore, because we are with everything.
Right. Yes, I love that. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so as people transition, it feels like from intuition into, I know you work with helping people to feel subtle energy, and then there's mediumship. And you were also one of the first few out there that I saw that were in the clinical field that, and Sherry, I mean, she came on this podcast and said, oh, by the way, there's mediumship. And I think it gave us permission for things that are happening, but you know, we're all behind closed doors, like, oh, we can't say this, you know? And so I'd like to ask, how is that evolving in your community for people?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And I feel I'm keep getting drawn back to my experience with my cousin. And I am really grateful that he opened me back up, just because I felt like in that moment of seeing him in the meditation, I just felt like, okay, what is this? How did I do this? How did he just show up in a meditation? And so with that, almost like really wanting to normalize this is just my life. You know, there are different times that people will come to me for a mediumship reading, and it may be something along the lines of, they say, like, are they around you all the time? You know, there's just different questions that I get. And with this, it's almost like, this is my life. This is how I live. And it's almost like, I don't want to necessarily change or hamper who I am. And I wouldn't want anybody else to either. And so with this, with mediumship, it's almost like witnessing that within each of our primary senses, we have 7 senses within each sense. And so witnessing that, sure, we're being able to see with the visual system in this regard. I can see you. I can see what's on your background, you know, that type of thing. But at the same time, I can see beyond you. I can see your aura, which would be another visual sensory component here. And then we can just keep looking and seeing. And so with mediumship, it's almost as if the other realm, let's say, is still here. So those who have passed, they're just in a different realm. And I'm able to communicate with them. I'm able to hear them, see them, sense them, be able to feel them. There's different times that they share with me, like how they passed, what it was like, who was there. And with that, I feel that being able to serve those who are still here is so healing in this regard. There's been so many times that I've been holding space for someone and they've wondered, you know, did my dad hear what I said at the end? Yes, absolutely. Your dad heard what you said at the end. And this is what he said in response to that. And so with this, I feel like it's almost as if I know I went out on a limb being a medium and stepping out. And, you know, it wasn't without repercussions. And so just being able to speak into that and being able to name that, and also knowing that I knew I was healing people. I knew that my gift was healing people, and I didn't want to hold that back. And there's been so many people that I've been able to hold space for in mediumship that have gotten the answers they've needed, that have gotten to be able to have solace where they didn't have it before. And what I appreciate is how it's catching on, I guess, and just being able to witness that it's becoming more normal. And so there's different times that I'll have therapy clinics call me up and say, hey, the grief is not shifting for several of our clients. Could you come in and do mediumship? And sure enough, as we come in and we're able to help the person connect with the other side or those that they love, things start shifting. And so it's almost like I have to do this. I have to. Yeah. And it's a passion of mine. And I just get a sense, I get so intrigued. And it's really fun, honestly. I'll just share that I get to know people on the other side that I've never met on this side. And there's different times. I had this gal recently, her very unfortunately, her boyfriend was in spirit, but it was fun bantering with him. And I said, he's a great guy. And she goes, I know. I'm so glad you got to know him. So I get to know a lot of people during my mediumship sessions. So yeah, I love it. Yeah. And I feel like it's necessary. It's necessary.
It is. And we're ready for this. We're ready. I love to hear that it's being invited into the therapeutic setting. In the spaces I hold, we talk about ancestors arriving, not in terms of mediumship, because we're usually in a sound journey. I think this is like the next piece of, again, just normalizing this, that it's part of the extended way that we are still connected to each other. And there's people born that are the mediators, right? And how do we bring those mediators into the therapeutic setting? I love it. I love it. That just makes me smile. So
I appreciate you saying that too, because I often tell people I'm just the translator.
Yes.
And you know, I'm just the translator. So yes. Yeah, I appreciate that. A bridge.
A bridge. Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. So as you think about your own journey, and so the one thing I do want to point, I want to go back before I go forward to this idea of stepping out with your gifts. Right now, there's a lot of people coming into more of their intuitive gifts. They're trying to decide, how do I integrate this? Or, you know, is this really going to be outside of the box? And you just spoke into that in terms of it may have repercussions, but if you know that this is part of why you're here, how do you stay true to that? Because right now the big ask is, can we step into our authenticity?
Right.
Who we truly are. And that may include having gifts.
Yeah. And I appreciate you sharing this, and I appreciate you kind of winding back to that. It was a hard time, in all honesty, for me to step out. And I don't know how to say this. I almost felt like I was pushed out. I almost felt like the powers that be, you know, God, spirit, those who are on the other side were almost like, we need you. And with that, then being able to witness that I may have lost people that didn't see me as reputable anymore, didn't see me as professional anymore. And at the same time, I knew that I needed to use my gift because people were healing. And I couldn't not help people heal. I feel like in so many ways, a huge life mission of mine is to touch as many people as possible. And mediumship helps me to do that and beyond, you know? So being able to witness that there's those beyond. And with that, it was a hard time. I do remember that. And I also really appreciated the support that I had around me. My husband was so supportive. He said, oh, it might make me tear up, get me emotional. He just said, this is a gift of yours. People need it. And I believe in you and I support you. And I feel that that is number one. Find those people that support you. And I feel too, find those friends or colleagues that are with you. Find those people that believe in you and also witness that you're meant for this. Because I really do feel that I hope that people recognize and realize that it's all right. It's a-okay. It's perfectly fine to be your authentic self. Like, what were you brought here to do? It's time for you to step into what you were brought here to do, to align with that, because so many people are going to be healed and helped with being able to bring forward truly who you are. So I hope that helps.
It does. It does. It's a message I try to give a lot, but I love, I think more of us, the more of us that speak it in different ways, then there's a unified message here. It's not just coming at me because I've decided, oh, that's what's important. It is actually part of our global transition, our collective transition. And so we're all finding the ways to nudge and support and also give people space and time to do it in a way that feels right for them. But yeah, it's beautiful. Thank you. And so as you think about what the things that, is there anything you wish you had had in your experience that wasn't there that people have now that we can help people recognize or link into or be aware of?
Right. You know, I really want to give honor to those who have come before me in a way of being able to pave the way. And so I feel like I didn't quite have that. And I feel that that's why I turned things off. Thankfully, you know, my parents were very supportive. And thankfully, too, I had a lot of support in, let's say, teachers or counselors or that type of thing that helped me to just be me, even if it was a little bit out there. And so I appreciated that. And at the same time, I don't know if they really understood me, even if they did support me. And so what I really appreciate is that there's so much more out there and there's people that are very open about their gifts. And I so appreciate that. And so I feel support and also education and just being able to find whatever knowledge you possibly can find to be able to support you in your journey and keep looking for it because you're going to find it. Like you're going to find it. You're going to find what you're looking for. And I feel like, you know, a huge part of my mission as well is to be able to be that support because I didn't quite have it because people didn't quite understand me. And if it feels okay just to step into the understanding of neurodivergence and looking at how our brains are all different, I know that I'm neurodivergent. I feel like for the longest time, I didn't realize that. But at the same time, it's almost like this brain is a little bit different than others, and that's okay. And so if there is, you know, somebody that's walking and wondering about their own neurodivergence, go ahead, do the research, find the support, find what you're looking for, because you will find it. You will find it.
And the connection between that extrasensory and the neurodivergence, that's the link that I see a lot of people making. One of the things I saw in my programs were that as the nervous system settled and things calmed down, there was more awareness of the neurodivergence. It's like, oh, and that's what happened for me in my journey. I went, holy cow. And all these strategies I developed to function, right, as a neurodivergent. And then there was grief, right? There was so much grief because those strategies had become my personality,
right?
So then I had to go back and kind of unwind them and bring in compassion and love for those neurodivergent parts. And so it was an identity, you know, big piece of identity shift that can come after deep trauma healing and nervous system regulation.
Yeah. And I appreciate you speaking into that too, because I feel like just growing up feeling different, doing all the right things, saying all the social etiquette things, the, you know, trying to follow all the social cues, being as extroverted as I possibly could be. It's hard going back and looking at that and not having the support that I needed and just doing what I needed to do during that time. And also such a relief to be able to witness that it's okay to be me. It's okay to be this. And with that too, I'm not an extrovert. I'm an introvert, and that's completely fine. So I appreciate what you say about identity and also about personality, because it's almost, for me anyway, it's this restructuring of it's okay to be me, you know?
Mm-hmm. And so when I met you, you were a model for me of that, because I mean, I had come to a certain point, but when I met you, I went, oh, okay, this is a whole nother level that you embody as an integrative person, human, and it really helped. So I wanted to thank you for that, because it was definitely a piece of giving me a really embodied experience of where I was moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm so glad. And it's so beautiful to witness like where your gifts are taking you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so yeah. Beautiful. I'm stepping into some very uncharted territory right now.
Yes. And beautiful, because I just think, you know, with this, so many people are touched by that and affected by that, mm-hmm, and healed by that.
Yes. You know? Yes. Mm-hmm. We're walking the talk and talking the walk and
all the things. All the things. Yep. Absolutely. Beautiful.
Well, let's wrap it up with what you're involved in right now. What's important is we direct people to your websites, because you have two websites still?
I do.
Okay.
Yes.
So let's wrap up by where people can find you and where, if they're interested, why go to one as opposed to the other. And
yeah, good call. I had a website designer say, like, you started with one thing and you just kind of turned into a tree. Like, there's all these branches. So if you go to Heather Corbett, spiritualadvisor.com, you'll find a lot more of the spirituality there. And so with that, that will be more of, I have a membership called VIP, which is very intuitive person. And so with that, it's being able to really look at your gifts and learn your gifts. And it's a really beautiful community of others who are also wanting to learn more about their gifts. And with this too, also on that page is my Reiki classes and other courses that are spiritually based. And then looking at brainspotting.com, there we have Spirit Code, which is looking at spirituality and brain spotting and looking at being able to really scale your goals. And also with brainspotting.com, there is the group expansion brain spotting course and brain spotting spirituality, intuition plus manifesting, and also brain spotting plus Reiki. So see this, that website designer was right. You take one thing and you create a tree.
Yeah, it's beautiful though, because people can pick and choose, and they're maybe 3-day classes or 2-day, or they're different time commitments, right?
Right.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And all of them are self-paced as well. So if you're not able to make the live, you know, feel free to join us for self-paced on your own. So,
great. Yeah. Well, I always tell people, if they're interested in brain spotting, this is the place to go, because it's going to provide you with the foundation and so much more. So I'm thrilled to have our communities be affiliated and to share, direct people your way. And I hope that we stay in touch and keep the dialogue. And I just love having you as a resource and someone out there who's there helping in the same way that we are.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for having me on, and also just for being able to share all of this truth with so many people.
Yes.
Thank you.
That is our hope here. So I appreciate the time, and yeah, we'll stay in touch. Thank you so much.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you for being a part of the Transformative Harmonics podcast. If this discussion resonated with you, please subscribe, share the episode, or write a review. This helps to support the expanding community around embodiment, sound, and conscious living. You can visit Transformative Harmonics at paulascatoloni.com to find out more about my work, forthcoming classes, and the Transformative Harmonics Academy. You can also reach out and connect with me on Instagram. My handle is at paulascatoloni. I write regularly on Substack at Signature Frequency Living. Until next time, take good care, and thank you for being part of the journey.